Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I am so excited to get into the 6-pack, which I think is going to be a 12-pack. I spent a lot of time on this, which is rather unusual, first of all. But secondly, it's just it's a lot of topics that really interest me. Today, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, to our left, Bob and I having the time of our lives. Let's do it. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome, Joe.
I tease to a stat that you will not blanking believe, Bob. This is from Codify Baseball.
And this Codify. They do a good job with baseball stats.
They're fantastic. Just listen to this. It's very simple, but we might have to have a moment of silence to digest it. Remember Zach Greinke, the pitcher?
Yes.
Pretty good hitting pitcher, right? Zach Greinke had a career 336 slugging percentage. The 2025 Pirates are slugging 334. As a team, they're slugging less than this pitcher did in his career. Bob.
Yeah, that's pretty stunning. I didn't see that one. I didn't know where you were going with it, but that's pretty stunning. And it's pretty telling. It tells you everything you need to know and why they failed again this year.
So as somebody, I don't know who this guy is, Patrick Baim maybe, says, Zach Greinke, a pitcher, could literally hit in all 9 spots of the Pirates lineup and they'd hit for more power. That's a fact. That is a fact. And they have the worst slugging percentage. I went back maybe 10 years and then got sick of it. They have the worst slugging percentage in baseball in 10 years. They're significantly worse than the Colorado Rockies, who are literally right now the worst baseball team since 1900.
And they will be the way they're going. They're on pace for like 130 losses.
So what are we waiting for, I guess, on Ben Cherington? Now, to be fair, I did say even less than 2 weeks ago, listen, they should have fired him. I maintained that. But I said, if a bunch of guys were to pan out between now and the end of the year, they could save his job. And I'm open-minded about it. Horwitz, Gonzalez, Canario, Hank Davis. Who am I missing?
Tommy Pham.
Not him. all those guys. But none of those guys have done anything since then.
And Canario had a chance. He started a little bit on fire with home run power, and then it dissipated. Reynolds has become more streaky than ever, it seems like, this season. And you're right. Nick Gonzalez, he's back from injury now. He's got to take a bigger step. They have this kid, Billy Cook, up. I want to see what he can do. Extended stay.
Henry Davis. I'm tired of seeing
Gone a little bit in the right direction. Yeah, now he's back to where
back
he was.
Back to where he was.
I'm not convinced Bart is going to be anything better than he was last year.
He was going to back cleanup third last night, and he has 1 home run.
Do they have the lineup up today, I wonder?
I don't even want to see it. I'm traumatized by yesterday.
You know, they're going to take Cruz out of it. I get it, because he can't, against Scoobal, that's a mismatch.
Why is that such a mismatch?
Because he won't hit him. I think that's I wouldn't do it.
Why?
Because I don't think he can hit him.
But you think Tommy Pham can?
No, I'm not putting Tommy Pham in.
Well, who are you putting in?
Who's left? Any other right-hand hitter?
Well,
on
that gets to our next little...
Wait a minute. Sean, would you, against Scoobal, who is just ripping left-hand hitters apart, and the way Cruz has gone lately, he's gotten back to some bad habits, and it's shown in his overall numbers, I think. What would you do in that case? Would you just play him?
Sign Zach Greinke. No, I mean, honestly, I think Joe's point is that they don't have many better options.
Tell him to close his eyes and swing, Bob.
I guess.
Hit him 8th or 9th.
If you're considering paying Cruz $150 million or whatever.
Right.
You have to find a way to get him in your lineup.
I totally agree.
What other baseball superstar, alleged superstar in the making, I should say, hoped for superstar would sit on the night you're facing the best pitcher of the year.
Well, I think with managers, they are going to go with the odds and the percentages.
No, they're not. Don Kelly bats O'Neill Cruz leadoff against lefties all the time.
And he should still be in there. I'm just saying on this particular guy, I got a feeling that it'll be four strikeouts.
So do I, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't put him in there. I got a feeling it'll be 27 strikeouts for the whole lineup.
But
this is a disaster, Bob.
It is a disaster, and Tommy Pham's still hanging around, and he's going to collect his check no matter what, so just release him and put younger guys in there. If Billy Cook struggles, so be it. At least you got to know.
Billy Cook's another scratch-off lottery ticket.
Whatever the case may be, I'd rather have a chance to see him play than not. And
no,
who knows?
Too.
Maybe some of those lottery tickets do hit once in a while. You know, you never know what you're going to get.
Which ones hit under Charrington?
Nothing.
Next. Jack Sawinski's back. Bob, he should have been out of the organization,
and
in my
opinion.
And he
should not be. If he's going to play today ahead of somebody.
I can't.
He's another lefty who will not hit Scooble.
Although I will say I'd rather see him than Tommy Pham.
I agree.
That's the choice. On any given day, against a lefty, a righty, a guy who throws ambidextrous, I'd rather see him than Tommy Pham. But I have zero hope that Jack Sawinski will resuscitate his career. You? He was pretty good at AAA.
I've seen
a lot of guys are.
I was hoping... Last season, this year, and I've seen enough. I just don't think it's possible at this point.
If there's a person on planet Earth who drives me more insane at the plate than Key Brian Hayes, it might be Jack Sawinski.
Well, that's another problem there.
So let's hope they're in
that
the lineup together.
I mean, how long? I know they're stuck with him in terms of the contract, but come on. He can't be in a lineup hitting the way he's hitting. He can be somebody.
Who?
Key Brian Hayes.
Oh, I can't.
But they have no, what are they going to do?
Triolo's hitting well for once. Yeah. He's hitting 333 this month.
Okay. That'll go the other way soon.
Well, sure, but he should be playing over Hayes right now at third.
Wasn't he playing yesterday? And both were playing. Where was he playing?
I don't remember.
First
I was
base?
Traumatized by the lineup. They didn't even play yesterday.
They were not going to use Cruz or Horwitz in this game based on yesterday, right?
Right.
So I assume they're going to have the same lineup because it hasn't changed much. What I didn't, and we've talked about this before, you have now it's especially a problem. Not a problem, but a problem for baseball. Yesterday, if you want to say Skeens needs whatever rest he needs or an extra day, that's one thing. Today, they're both scheduled
Hold
to
on,
pitch.
Bob. That was my next topic. Okay. Crack
Sorry.
One, Sean, and crack a nice big one for Bob. Bob, are the managers just afraid? We had a chance for literally, I think, the best pitching matchup in baseball this season. Scooble against Skeens.
Right.
And tell me why.
Especially
you think
now
they're
with
not
a doubleheader.
Doing it. Yeah.
There's no excuse. They're both going to pitch on the same day.
Well, no, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Today. Today they was on a silver platter. Is it because, why? Why do you think they did this?
I would think this is more on Donnie Kelly than it is Detroit, right? Because Detroit had him as the day two of this three-game series starter, so he was going to pitch today in the first game. If you're Donnie Kelly, why not just say, hey, we're going to put him up there in game one, not game two. He could do that.
Of course he could. I agree with you.
Why won't he do it?
Because he probably thinks I want a better chance to win the Skeens game. But in the meantime, you're depriving, I think, even the pitchers themselves, Skeens and Scooble, all the players, all the fans, the entire baseball world. You are depriving of the pitching matchup of the year.
Yeah, and you only get one shot at this. And yep. if it matches up, and it just so happens that it matches up today that they're both going to pitch, it should be maybe even mandated by baseball. They should have called these managers
I
and
agree
say, you know
you.
What? For one
Call
moment.
AJ Hinch.
Now, of course, Detroit is the best team in baseball, record-wise
right now.
And he's been but the Pirates have nothing really to play for.
They have nothing
to
lose.
Why not see what this matchup would? I think it's
nothing
entertaining.
Nothing to lose.
No.
Except probably 70 more games. This year. Maybe they can...
But would you agree, Sean, this was a Donnie Kelly decision.
Maybe they can bang on trash cans in the Tigers dugout with A.J. Hinch, Bob, against Skeens today, do you think?
Maybe.
You think that might work? I can't believe that we can't even get that. We can't even watch that today.
The fans lose. There's no doubt about it. Baseball as a whole loses. I'm not going to criticize either team individually because they're doing whatever they think is best, but I do wonder...
Do you think it's best? If you're Don Kelly, do you think this is the best move for your team
So
today?
What I'm thinking is, we've talked so much about, could Skeens win a Cy Young with a losing record, a significant losing record? They probably think if he goes against Scooble, he's either getting a loss or a no decision.
That's what he gets anyway.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
Game number two, Detroit, I don't think, has even set a starter. That should be a game where
Guy will throw a no-hitter, too.
Well, that's valid. We saw that against, what, Mick Abel in Philadelphia.
His name is Undecided. Paul Skeens versus Undecided, and Undecided's going to have a hell of a game today, Bob.
I think they're trying to get him a win when they have the opportunity, because they're thinking whoever Detroit throws in that second game will not be as good as Scoop.
All right, but if you went and asked Paul Skeens what he'd rather do today, I can promise you he'd rather go against Scoop.
And I think Scoob would say the same thing. He would much rather face Skeens than Andrew Heaney.
We had this topic on the showdown on Sunday night. And I think it's an interesting topic. There was a time once when the Cy Young was just one person all the whole league.
Yeah.
If that were still in play, and it's not National League and American League, who would be your pick this year? Because I'd have to go Scoobal at this point.
Probably today. Yeah, but I think by the end it'll be Skeens. And you know what? We would have had a great measuring stick.
Yes.
Except we're not going to get it. We're going to watch Andrew Heaney and Undecided.
I would go Scoobal, and I think it's easy to say that if everything else is close, you look at the record and the team success.
The team success has
I don't look at that. That's unfair.
You don't think that's a tiebreaker?
It's irrelevant.
No, but to me, it's irrelevant. I agree with you, but he's saying there are people who will use that as a tiebreaker.
No, he's
advantage.
Saying he would use it as one. I don't care what other people do.
I'm looking at metrics, period.
Scoobal's stats are better. He had a ridiculous streak of like 60 strikeouts to one walk. So, I mean, he's a better strikeout pitcher now.
And the thing about him, he's never gone over 100 pitches in a game this year.
Skeens has a higher WAR. Scoobal has a little tiny bit of a lower WHIP, walk and hits to innings pitched. Skeens has a better ERA, 178 to 199.
Right.
It's incredibly close, but Scoobal's the better strikeout pitcher. Oh, my God. Scoobal has only nine walks? In 14 starts?
He has the best ratio of strikeouts to walks
in
history.
He knows how to pitch to the point where he makes the reason he gets so many strikeouts, he's so efficient, especially on first pitch, second. He's ahead of just – I saw a stat where it's a ridiculous percentage of the time he's ahead on the count. And when he's ahead on the count, you're not going to hit him, period.
Holy ostrich milk, Bob. And yet we talk about this, you know, this historically great season that Scoobal is having. And then you have to say Skeens has an ERA that is significantly better than his. Think about that.
And again, those numbers trump wins and losses to me. Wins and losses, that's a team part. You can't control that.
That's where I say I think that's a tiebreaker.
I wouldn't even go there. I would just use all the other things. You can't penalize him for being on this team. Next. And that's what essentially they're doing.
Thank you, Sean. Can you make that a little louder? I think Bob wants to have it be a little bit
more. Do you have a corkscrew? Could we open up a fine wine, you know, for maybe a Petrus Selection 166?
A celebratory, more of a celebratory thing going on here. All right, Adam Crowley. We love him dearly, don't we, Bob?
Adam's a pride of West Virginia.
Wonderful man. However, he says that he and everybody owes Aaron Rodgers an apology? For what? Let's take a listen.
Well, I think people owe Rodgers a little bit of an apology, too. And me a little bit, but, he's going to be this massive distraction. He's not even going to show up until training camp. Man, he's not focused. He showed up. TJ Watt didn't show up. He showed up. He got under contract. He came to the mandatory thing. By all accounts, and Caboli wrote a really long story on X and went on the Pat McAfee show to talk about it. He came in, he pulled up a chair, he's playing cards. He's, according to Will Howard, giving him advice on his five-step drops on how to make him better.
The first day he was here, he went...
Bob! So he showed up for work, didn't act like a jackass, and played cards with his teammates? Sorry, Aaron, I was all wrong about you. What are we doing here, Crowley?
You haven't had one major opportunity yet in a game. I think ultimately first of all, there are no apologies necessary. He took his good old time. If anything, he should apologize to them for taking so long.
I agree.
You know, you made it seem as if you're and most
every
people,
other quarterback in the whole NFL, including Josh Allen,
who was getting married,
including Tua, who's in a contract dispute. Every other quarterback in the NFL was there for voluntary OTAs. This guy's brand new to his team, and he wasn't. Is it the biggest deal in the world? No. But do I owe him an apology? No, I don't. And I don't think anybody does.
I think he owes them one still for taking this long.
I didn't think he was going to walk in there. And I don't think he's going to be disruptive in general, by the way. I didn't think he was going to like start throwing things around or come in on a helicopter and leave on a helicopter. And I also didn't think he was just going to show up day one of training camp. It's a straw man argument, which makes sense because Crowley himself is built like a straw man, Bob. So it was from one straw man to another. Is that too insulting to Crowley?
It's all right. He can handle it.
He's a straw man in and of himself, Sean. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he's a diminutive fellow.
Yeah.
I like Crowley, though.
That's a good word.
Nobody doesn't like him.
Except some people, a lot of listeners maybe. Yeah.
But that's good. That's good for business. They still want to hear Crowley, right?
Yeah, I think so. He's a little controversial.
Bob, do you like him?
Yes, I do. I think he has a lot of energy for the program, and he's not afraid to. But this last opinion, I don't agree with.
An apology? Come on, Crowley.
Doran was on the same page.
Well, Doran, the stuff that he was saying had a little bit more weight behind it, literally and figuratively, muscle, we should say, a little more muscle behind it, because he said he's talked to people in the league, and they all say that Rodgers was a good teammate. That's great, but it's sort of a separate topic than whether I or anybody owes him an apology for showing up to work and acting like a normal human being, right?
I also wonder, let's say 95% of guys think he's a great teammate, but the other 5% are pretty important.
Go ask players. Mike Williams how he feels about Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Garrett Wilson was basically a franchise player for the Jets when Rodgers came there, and he was talking about wanting out if Rodgers stuck around. That seems like that's a pretty significant guy to kind of turn off, and you know, you hope that doesn't happen with one of his Steelers teammates that's prominent.
Maybe that's why they got rid of Pickens, Bob, before it could happen.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I've seen some takes here where people say Rodgers had something to do with Pickens being traded, which if that happens,
actively or passively,
I don't know if that's even true.
But you see things on this.
I don't know what's actual true. But right. Listen, Aaron Rodgers, if he has that kind of power before he ever came in here and signed, then I'm sorry, that's giving him too much. And I also think
I don't think he said anything. I think it was more the Steelers saying to themselves, "Do we think this is a great idea here?" And for better or worse, they said no.
Okay, they can. They've made their choice.
Because
there.
Here's another thing where Doran and Bostic made a good point that Aaron Rodgers wants precision everywhere, and that George Pickens is the anti-precision receiver.
I think when George Pickens is motivated, he can be very precision, especially down the sidelines.
Maybe, but the Steelers must have had their reasons. He's not here anymore.
I'm sure they have.
Jeremy Fowler.
I wanted to see those two guys.
Was the one who had that report.
So he okay. Well,
what report
that George Pickens being moved was at least somewhat related to Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh,
right? But not related to Rodgers phoning them and saying I ain't playing with that guy, right?
Well, I don't know.
I think
it
was more so they thought they wouldn't mesh together.
Yeah,
whether that be on field or more likely off field.
Will he mesh down there in Dallas? When he has CeeDee Lamb on the other side and when...
don't think he's going to mesh anywhere, Bob.
How about if he does? I'm just saying, I wanted to see, and just as just my own little world, I wanted to see both of them on the field at the same time, DK Metcalf and George Pickens.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see what it did to the rest of the offense. Because as a defense, you have to be very accountable to these guys. They're big, big playmakers down the field. They win jump balls, both of them. And I wanted to see if that opened things up in the middle of the field. Because
I think you're the only one there. I think a lot of people agree with you. So, I bet a lot of the players in that room would agree with
you. I mean, George's own worst enemy. There's nobody's doubting that. But again, and if it wasn't the final year of his contract and he had to be motivated to play, I would not have believed this. But because it was, I still think he has to understand that this is important for him. And if he does, if he's motivated, if he keeps his mouth shut, he could be highly productive on a team opposite DK Metcalf.
Next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Sean. Shador Sanders, Bob, went a little fast in his car. Ticketed
yeah, Antonio Brown. He went more than Antonio Brown was. What was it?
Well, what's McKnight the official Road. Reading
what was he,
here?
105 on McKnight Road, which is like going through an obstacle course.
And Shador was clocked at 100 even. Is that the story here? Is that what he was? And I don't know what.
101.
Okay. And all was right. It on a highway?
60 mile an hour zone.
Okay. So how do we feel about this, Bob?
Doesn't do much for me. I've seen guys, I go home every night through the 4-pit tunnels at midnight or beyond. You should see the speed some of these people are coming at you.
Yeah.
So not that I agree with it. I hate it because it gets me scared in that tunnel. I don't know what guys are, if they're on anything, whatever they're doing. But, you know, he's a young kid who made a mistake. That's how I look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't love it. I just sort of file it away to if things like this start to add up, you know, and I would with any young athlete. It's just, you know, just I would say a mild concern. That's all. But yes, I generally agree with you.
You know what's worse than speeding is the people who weave in and out of the two lanes while speeding. That to me is way worse than if you're kind of on a road.
No, this in and of itself, forget who did it. People who do this are putting everybody else on the road at great risk. 100 miles an hour on a 60. Come on, I had this happen to me on the highway the other day.
I see it
and
all the time.
And if I had switched lanes like at the last second, I could have been killed.
Yeah,
that's going over 100.
One
and now
person,
I got my daughter on the roads too, so I'm thinking about it all the time.
That's another reason to be concerned.
You put everyone else on the road in jeopardy, and when you're going that fast, you don't have a chance to stop in time to prevent a collision.
Yeah.
But so, I'm not trying to, you know, look at this and diminish it in any way. What I'm saying is, over the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. And, you know, no, I hear you. I hear you.
But well, I hate it. I think people are all messed up on the roads.
But you
days.
Are Very putting impatient. Yourself and others at risk by doing that.
Just be thoughtful. Be responsible and accountable for not only yourself and your family, but others. Ask Henry Ruggs how he feels about going 100 miles an hour. You know, is he still in prison? Killed people.
Was he under the influence? However?
I don't know what he was, but he was going. Yeah. What rate of speed was he going at?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Next. Bob, I mentioned this the other day, but I bring Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, into the conversation. The queue, the ticket queue for the Steelers game in Ireland, mm-hmm. I think 76,000 maybe fit in Croke Park, mm-hmm. was over 600,000 people. So I ask you, Sean, I'm going to turn to you first on this one. Would you try to get into that queue just on the idea that if you got the tickets, you could sell them? Because, God, let's just say I have no idea what they're worth, Bob. Let's say I get a couple of $400 tickets to the game. I feel like I could sell them for $5,000 a piece and
easily.
Make 10 grand.
Easily.
Would you do that?
You know, I've never done that where I did something for the intent solely of flipping it for more money. That said, it is certainly tempting if you could, to your point, you know, make 10 times over what you paid for the tickets. I probably would not do it, but I would not blame anyone who did do it because that's a significant amount of money you could make for really just being lucky and winning a draw.
But I also think there is a lot of genuine interest and fans want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are a big draw all over the world. And so when you have an opportunity to see something like that, and you're planning trips, a lot of people plan their trips about, you know, sporting events. And if you can make it into a nice week.
Donnie does that every year. They plan one road game that they go to. And I know they went to Vegas, which is a pretty cool thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you get to go overseas. That's an entire week. And maybe your one trip of the entire year. That's a pretty cool opportunity, I would say.
Wouldn't be bad. Coming up next, let's turn this into a 12-pack. We have the Connor McDavid question. I asked Tyler Kennedy, and I want to twist it in this direction. Where would you go, or how would you play this if you were Connor McDavid? one more season on your contract in Edmonton. Would you play it out and then get easily the biggest contract in hockey history? Would you choose a destination? How would you play it? Plus, Tyler was not big on the Nick Bonino hiring. Are we? And Beanie Bishop tells Mike DeFabo that there's some new stuff with this Steelers defense. What is he talking about? We'll tell you next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And it's 11:33. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Bob, the fan and the Pirates. Want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball Softball Showcase presented by Sheets, parents, coaches. Email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And the fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with Sean Myers behind the glass at 412-928-9370. This is the Pomp and Joe Show, and Joe's no longer here for some reason. I have no idea where he is. But we'll continue the conversation without him, Sean, won't we?
It's kind of a weird scene here today. There's not many people working. Normally, I would think he's off talking to somebody.
So would I.
I don't know if
he had to go to the bathroom.
To.
Could he have one of those? You know, yeah. Sometimes it does take some time.
Intern Dom might be here already.
Oh, part-time Joe is here. How about that? He finally showed up. Did you have to go and relieve?
Some unbelievable things happened, Bob. This Harry Callis controversy. Have you heard about this at the station?
Yes. It's just getting, it's gone way too far.
To make
don't
it,
you think?
Well, no, actually. To make it very simple, there was a rejoin, or the beginning of the U.S. Open on Sunday started with a clip from the fan. Do you have that, Sean, anywhere? The clip from the fan? Right, Bob?
I heard it.
Yeah. So it started with Harry Callis's voice, and thus was born a controversy.
Let me tell you a little bit about Pittsburgh sports.
The biggest name in Pittsburgh sports media. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicholas Harry Callis.
Yay!
Oh, Harry.
Oh, wow.
We don't know how he does it. He doesn't know how he does it. But he's up at 5 every morning to get the sports talk day started in Pittsburgh. This is the Fan Early Morning Show with Nicholas Harry Callis on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Well, not all of that appeared on the U.S. Open, but the first part did. It was Harry Callis's voice. So that leads to people wondering how NBC got the sound. Bob, you're a veteran of these things. And to boil it down simply to this, Harry says they just grabbed it. You know, he comes on the early morning show.
Is that possible? I'm just curious. Well, is that possible?
I'll ask you in a minute. Harry does come on the early morning show, and he does say sometimes, and nobody else does, Pittsburgh's hometown sports station. So all that's right. A receipt in his favor. The controversy became, wait, did NBC contact anybody here or just lift the audio? And if they contacted somebody, was it Harry? And was he selfish and just wanted his voice to be on there? Why didn't he pass it up the food line here? Why didn't he tell Craig Riley? Why wasn't it your voice, Bob, which would have been my choice? Why wasn't it Crowley or Pony? Why wasn't it somebody else's voice? So Harry was accused of manipulating this to his favor. Others have said, yeah, NBC probably just went in and grabbed it. Mike Florio, who works for NBC, was on with the PM guys yesterday and told them in his experience, NBC never takes a piece of audio without asking for it first. And Mike said firsthand, when they've used my stuff, they call me. Bob, you're in the TV business. What do you think happened here?
Well, first of all, I do think it is protocol, and most national television networks will reach out. In our case, what typically happens is CBS Sports will call or leave a message or an email. They do it that way. Hey, we need help with this. Do you have any idea of where we can get this kind of information?
Right.
We're looking for something to set up. So protocol-wise, that's normally what happens. And if they talked about that yesterday, I would not be surprised if that was the case. The case then becomes, who was contacted?
Well, let's stop right there. You, by virtue of what you're saying, are indicting Harry Callis, as a lot of people
I'm not indicting anything. All I'm doing is I'm asking the question, if they reached out, who did they reach out to?
You said it's protocol to reach out, and you said I would not be surprised if they reached out.
Right. But then the question is, to whom?
Well, only to Harry. I mean, that's if they reached out.
Has anyone talked to Craig Riley?
Craig Riley yesterday seemed to indicate to me that he believes NBC may have just seized it, and they're okay with that here, of course, because it's great publicity for us, right?
Can we call NBC and get an answer?
Well, can you? That's
just the question. I think you want to get this over with. It's dragging on and on and on.
Yeah, but there's more twists and turns, and now we have two very prominent media people here, Sean, in Mike Florio and Bob Pompeiani, seeming to indicate, not directly accusing, but framing Harry Callis as the guilty one.
First off, just, excuse me, here's the clip just so that everyone knows. This is the start of, they were like returning from a commercial and they used this at the U.S. Open on Sunday.
Good morning. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Pittsburgh's hometown sports talk station.
And then it went into Michael Keaton.
Right.
Talking.
Yeah, right.
Now,
I don't doubt that that's legit, that it happened on that 540 show, whatever he does.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he staged it in any way.
No, not at all.
So it's there. The question is, how did they find it? That's the question.
The question, it sure is.
Callis is firing back. He told me this morning, this is no joke, because I don't know how serious Callis and Dom and all those people are about some of these arguments. He said he is looking into legal representation.
No, he's not.
That's what he told me.
Listen.
Stone-faced
for
this
what,
morning.
Though, for what?
No, that's not
defamation?
Happening.
Defamation?
No.
Is that what we're talking about? I mean, what are we
Listen,
talking about?
Listen, I saw Harry Callis, believe it or not, lives on my street right here in Greentree, Bob. And I can honestly say we moved in 06 when Harry was 8 years old. I didn't know he existed until I taught him at Waynesburg.
Wow.
I've never seen Harry on the street in all the years I've lived there until yesterday. I took a little walk around the block.
Searching him out?
No, not at all. Circa 6 p.m. There's Harry with his new girlfriend, Jada, emptying out Harry's cars. He has multiple cars. He has three cars. Did you know that?
No. Why?
Good question. I'm not sure. I think he likes to collect cars. So she's getting ready to move, apparently. The garage is stacked from the floor to the ceiling. I don't know what's happening in the Callis household. Maybe some hoarding going on, Bob. I don't know. Probably out of turn to even mention it. But Harry is absolutely not bringing, he's not suing anybody here, Bob. That's not happening.
No, that's an overreaction to something.
Now, I wouldn't say the whole thing's a put on from my private talk with Harry. People believe that Harry put himself above his teammates here. There are people at this station who believe that. And when you follow what you're saying, what Florio's saying, general protocol, Harry would have a hell of a case if this were in front of a jury. A hell of a case to make. Like, he wouldn't have a great case.
He would have to represent himself, probably, right?
Yeah.
Listen, again, to me, this is just a bunch of stuff that happens. It's fun to talk about.
Would you be mad if somebody did this?
I really don't care, to be honest. If someone took audio from it, didn't matter. I would like to know.
Would you be mad if one of your teammates, when you had a chance to be the voice of the U.S. Open, put themselves in front of you?
No, I mean, it depends on if they called and I wasn't there. And
what if Richie Walsh did it?
So be it. If he works there, it's not like we're teammates down there. If there was some audio that fit, and they contacted the people, it didn't matter who they chose, and they didn't care who they chose. They just wanted the audio. Who cares?
That's another question. If Harry did he do anything wrong? Who was on the phone there, Sean?
A caller who said that you would do the exact same thing that Harry Callis did. And
me personally?
Yes. He said you're jealous because you would do the same thing and get your voice out there. That's how you move up in this
sports industry. Maybe I would, Bob.
I don't think you would.
You've raised an entirely new question. If Harry did he do anything wrong? If I was Harry and I get an email, NBC, hey, we want to use you guys coming at the top of the show.
Especially if they ask for something like, hey, we need somebody to set up a station.
I might say yes. And boy, do I have the clip for you, Bob, and it was me.
I just wonder how they would know to contact him via email specifically.
Yeah, that's the biggest question for me, is who did they
contact? Producer of the Fan Morning Show.
Yeah, but don't they normally go, again, I'm only experiencing what we do. We normally get stuff that goes to our news director.
Yeah.
He then decides what happens.
Are there little books out there? There used to be when I covered the NHL of every single person who works and anybody who's in charge of something at a given media outlet. This is your sports editor, this radio station, here's your producers.
There has to be multiple producers, right?
Right.
On that list.
Yeah. Including.
And I would think then that NBC would group text them all or group email them all and say, hey, if any of you guys have access to this, please let us know. So I can't believe they would immediately just email him specific, right? That doesn't seem like you're picking.
You're right about that. He is right about that, Sean. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know that there's any scenario where somehow they realize the only person we need to contact via email is Nicholas Harry Callis.
Because normally it would go to an entire
Callis story.
Maybe they heard his melodic voice and said, this is the voice that we want.
Maybe.
I mean, whatever. I don't know.
I'll tell you this much, Bob. They use the best possible clip because Harry does say he can be a little wordy sometimes. He does say 93.7 The Fan, Pittsburgh's hometown sports
station.
That's
what they were clearly looking to because the first line out of Michael Keaton's mouth is, let me tell you about my hometown.
Right.
And so if they were looking for that word.
Yeah. If you're Craig Riley and you had a chance, our boss, you had a chance to choose which little intro you would use. Now, maybe I'd go with your voice. But that's the best intro you could get on The Fan, is Harry saying all
especially
that.
Especially if they had a pre-written for Michael, because Michael Keaton, just all he did was probably read what somebody wrote, or he wrote it himself, and they saw it and said, hometown, we need a hometown
or
station.
Harry Callis wrote it for him.
Good morning. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Pittsburgh's hometown sports talk station.
Let me tell you a little bit about where I grew up.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
World might have changed a lot over the years. But the DNA of Western Pennsylvania.
It was let's say this. It was a very well done opening.
Very
I loved
well
it.
Done.
I thought it was terrific. And to get Michael Keaton to do it was terrific.
So all's well that ends well. Harry's off the hook. That's how I feel.
I mean, me too. I'm beyond this now. I think it's becoming a little bit too too much. He said this. I don't.
Is Harry guilty or not? Is he off the hook for you, Bob?
I don't look at it as guilty or not guilty. They wanted something. They got it. I'd like to know where the email came, though. They would not do that.
Here's
one thing that I do not believe.
Yeah.
I do not believe they just start scouring through a bunch of stuff at this Odyssey station. You know what I mean? I don't think they go.
Sound, you mean?
Yeah, just looking for it. It could take all day to get what they're exactly looking for. Somebody had to request. To me, this is what I would think. Somebody had to request specifically what they were looking for.
Ooh.
That's the only thing I would say.
All right.
And I would have.
So you're not letting Harry off the hook.
I don't
here.
Think it's
I'll
that big of
that.
A deal, whatever. Yeah. What I'm saying is normally in these situations, we get an email that's sent to the news director
right.
who then copies all of us.
Yes.
And then we will find something that fits whatever they need. I don't know where that went here because.
All right. I'm letting Harry off the hook. Bob clearly is not. Sean,
what
are
do you mean
you?
I'm not? I'm just. Here we go. What are we doing now?
I gave you a chance just to end it and
I
say
don't
he's
care.
Off the hook. And
I
you
think
said,
it's
yeah,
much ado about nothing, and I think this
from.
Thing is dragged on for an entire week for no
yes,
reason.
Because there's new layers every single day, and now Harry is threatening legal action.
Oh.
And he put out a statement.
Okay, well, that's also a little over-the-top reactionary. Point is, all I want to know, one question could be answered.
Yes.
How did this
Merely by raising it, you're implicating Harry.
I just want to know where the
you're
email came. Somebody
Harry.
Had to yes. do it because I do not believe, because I know our CBS people at CBS Sports, they would never go through all the stuff we do. They'd
right.
specifically ask for something.
Yes. I think Callis is saying that there was no email as far as he knows.
Well, then how would he know to do this? And
I think he's saying they literally were just tuning in okay. one morning when he was doing his
Well, that would be that very show. Unusual protocol for NBC. Is he off the hook for you, Harry? I mean, Sean?
He is a very quirky, bizarre fellow, but I don't know him to be a liar. So if he is flat out saying something, I'm going to believe him, although it does seem a little unusual.
Everybody
the only thing I want to know.
Nobody can give Harry a clean bill here.
I do not think NBC would waste their time because they have a lot.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.